And my will be lost. blessed sleep from which none ever wakes to weep. Amen. On his firm repose, unbroken by the lance of foes, asleep in Jesus. Such a somber need, with holy confidence to sing, that death has lost its veterans. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest, whose waking
My lady's son is sleeping well, my race is nearly run, my strongest trials now are past, my triumph is begun. Victory, oh, come, angel band.
378, if someone else don't have one.
378.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. The home of the happy and free. That heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining. No wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. That heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Your waters of life there are flowing, and all who drink may be free. Red jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. The angels so sweetly are singing, up there a beautiful scene. Sweet chords from the old harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. That heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
We welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today at Reedsville Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out to worship with us today. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody for the cards and the gifts and the words of encouragement and comfort that I received from so many. We really appreciate it. When you lose your part of your family, it's a wonderful comfort to feel like that you're still a member of even a larger family. The Lord Jesus said that he would give us mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. These are in the kingdom of God. And when people get our age mostly, why, we've lost our mothers and our fathers, and now I've lost my wife and one sister and a brother. So death is no stranger to us at this time of our life. And so it's a great comfort to have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. And as we often say so many times, we're even closer it seems to me, than we are by those that we're tied to by flesh and blood. We know that there's sickness, always is, when you begin to have a few years behind you, and we know Sister Moore has had having some trouble with medicine she's taken, and Sister Jane has had the bronchitis and then got the shingles, which is very painful. We're so sorry to hear that, and she's still having problems with the shingles, and I sure hope they soon get better. I've been very fortunate. I've never had the shingles, but I have known people that did have them bad, and they sure are painful. We're glad Sister Nancy can be here. She certainly had her share of problems here lately, and we're glad to see her. And we're thankful for each and every one of you. Sister Mabel was able to come this morning. Her daughter and son-in-law brought her. We're thankful for that. Brother Keith, do you have a
number six?
We'll sing number six, and you may stand if you like while you're singing. And we covered an interest in your prayers as we endeavor to pray. And people complain about not being able to hear me, so I'll continue to stand while I pray. I usually get on my knees is my custom when I pray, but because of my voice, I'll just continue to stand. But we covered an interest in your prayers that the Lord would give us liberty of mind and thought, and that we might have freedom in the scriptures to set forth that which would be edifying to you and upbuilding and honoring and glorifying our wonderful Savior and our God. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
Holy, holy,
holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning
my soul shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty,
God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the grassy sea. Cherubim
and
seraphim falling down before thee, who word and art and shall be.
Holy,
holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, holy thou art, holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Our most kind and Merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence, truly saying that thou art holy in all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. How thankful we are, our Father, this morning, that by thy amazing grace that we do believe in the true and the living God, the three persons in the Godhead. And yet these three are one, for there is only one God, and besides thee there is no other. How thankful we are, our Father, for the privilege of assembling ourselves together at the appointed place where thy church does assemble, which thou did establish when thou was here, after the law of dispensation was gone, and thou didst establish this wonderful place for thy dear children, Jew and Gentile, to come and to worship thee, to hear the blessed gospel of our wonderful God and our Savior, and to be edified in the most holy faith, built up in grace and in knowledge of thee, the true and the living God. How thankful we are, our Father, when we see the multitudes in the earth that do not believe that thou hast a Son and he came into the earth and atoned for our grievous sins against thee. We realize more and more, our Father, what a privilege it is and what grace has abounded towards us in that we do believe and trust in the true and the living God. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, which truth has set thy children free from the cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy wonderful love and mercy that thou hast provided for us by thy atoning sacrifice of thyself on our behalf and by establishing the church, which is where the truth is established, and thou hast placed it forever. Dear Lord, we thank thee for this country. We pray for her rulers and our leaders, from the courthouse to the White House. Lord, we pray thou would be with them. Grant them wisdom that they may rule in such a way that it would be pleasing unto thee. We pray for our sons and daughters on foreign soil that are protecting our liberties and fighting those who have declared that they would and love to destroy us. Lord, we realize that if the Lord builds not the house, the laborers do but labor in vain. So we pray, Lord, thou would be with our leaders, be with our sons and daughters, and those, O Lord, that are preserving our liberties. Thank thee again for thy church. Now, Lord, we pray thou would bless us to the edifying of thy dear children, and that we might honor and serve thee by preaching the truth as it is in thee. These mercies and blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We want to go to some scripture that's well known and it's used by a lot by the religious world. And I'm sure that I've spoken on it before. But if we preach and go to church long enough, there's not many scriptures that we haven't heard. And the Lord says, the apostles say rather, that it's good for us to hear these things again and again, that we might keep them in memory. And he told the church at Corinth, he said that ye have received the word of God which I preached unto you, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory those things which ye have heard. And so the scriptures do save us to the truth. They do not put us into the family of God. They do not regenerate us, as so many claim, but they do save us to the truth as it is in Christ. And it is a wonderful blessing to have the truth. For Christ says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And beloved, we can see the things that's gone on in the world in centuries past and gone, and it's going on now in the name of God. and people killed and slaughtered and murdered in the name of their God, and think that they will be rewarded for it. But the truth in Christ teaches us that God is the God of peace now that Christ has put away our sins. He's said to be the God of peace based upon that. Apostle Paul in the 13th chapter of Hebrews said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." So we see that the Lord Jesus came into the world under a covenant or by covenant bonds. It just wasn't an accident that had to be, arrangements had to be made for after man sinned. It was something that was known and determined and purposed before the world began. And so Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, the scriptures tell us. Now here in the 11th chapter of Romans, we read, and this verse, Brother Keith has given me some CDs and tapes on debates between some of our ministers and ministers of other denominations. And it's amazing. I would say, if you don't know the truth, how you misapply the scriptures, but this particular man, I'm confident he knew what our minister was saying. He understood what he was putting forth, but he would take it and misapply it. And that looked to me to be deliberate, because it was obvious when he was debating him, at times he knew what he meant by the scriptures he quoted, but then he would misapply it. And I don't think that's honest. But at any rate, there are a lot of people who do believe that the scriptures teach the free will of man. And I mean by that, what they mean is that man has a free will to accept God or reject God, to become a child of God or not to become a child of God. They have free will in the sense that they can believe and become a child of God, reject and refuse and stay in their lost condition. And we believe that we have free will within the sphere of who we are and what we are. In other words, we are not robots. We could have stayed home today. I don't believe that we had to get here. Now, I know some people that believe that. I went to a funeral one time, and the man thanked everybody for coming and then said, of course, said, you had to come. You couldn't be nowhere else. Well, I just don't understand it that way. I believe that we have the freedom. When I got up this morning, I could have decided that for some reason or another, I need to stay home and not come. And then I had the freedom to decide to come. I realize that it's by the grace of God and his providence that I survive day by day to do this and to do that. But yet we have free will in that sense. But our will is not free from sin. We have a sinful nature, and we received it from Adam. We're not born innocent, as this man claims that children are born innocent. And then sometimes, and they usually say by the age of 13, I think, 12 or 13, that they become at the age of accountability. And then they're responsible. But our nature, we receive the nature that we have when we are born. And according to the scriptures, there's none good, no, not one. The scripture says God looked down from heaven to see if there was any that understood And there was none, no, not one. We have all together become ungodly and are sinners. And that passed upon us when Adam sinned as our representative. When he fell, we fell with him because we were in his loins. We were in Adam when he sinned, and he represents us. According to the scriptures, he's only made two men, the first Adam and the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the two men, and they are the figureheads of their people. All that came from Adam, Adam represents. All that are in Christ, that are chosen in Christ, that have been put in Christ, are represented by him. And so the Apostle Paul establishes that in so many different ways. Here in the 11th chapter of, 10th chapter it is, of Romans, he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We want to read a few scriptures before and after that to see if we can get the context. And Paul says, let me say first that in the book of Romans, in the very first chapter of the book of Romans, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Gentile, to everyone that believeth. For therein," that is in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And so he says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And I've heard many different versions of that, from faith to faith, and it might be the faith from the preacher to the faith, your faith as you preach. And my faith is that I'm preaching the truth, and your faith is that you're receiving it. Or it might be the faith that comes from God and is given to us. But I believe that he has been talking about the circumcision here and the uncircumcision, which is, means the Jew and the Gentile. And the Jew had been given the Mosaical law and how they were to worship God. The instructions of their worship service was in great detail of how they were to worship him. They still were saved by grace through faith, even though they had the law service as a manner in which they were to approach God. Yet, by faith, we go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we read that Abel offered it by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then Enoch, by faith, walked with God and was translated. He was not found. And then Noah, by faith, built a house, an ark, to the saving of his house. Now, all of this was way before the law was ever given by Moses. So we see that there were people living by faith and walking by faith and operating by faith way before the law was given and before the Lord Jesus came. And so the law was given, the scripture says, as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, when the law comes to you in the power of the Spirit, it says, "Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this." And then you do it. Well, then the Spirit condemns you for doing that. So when you feel condemned, you need a Savior. You begin to look for righteousness that you don't have. And therein is where the gospel comes in, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, since the first man sinned and plunged all of his posterity into sin, well then the second man from heaven had to take on himself flesh and blood as a man, though it says that Christ condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, that since we had sinned and become sinners in the flesh, then Christ was made sin. He came in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. That's the scripture I was looking for. So he came in the likeness of sinful man in the flesh, that he might condemn sin that's in the flesh. Though he had no sin, yet he was...